This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message, titled Contentment, Pastor Scott reminds us that contentment is not the fulfillment of what we want, but the realization and appreciation of how much we already have. This message was recorded on Sunday, June 7, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hopers. Yeah, it's a wonderful day. I heard when I was gone, it rained a lot, but man, the last couple of days, got to cut the grass, got to spray some poison, got to water the plants because it wasn't raining. But it's like, I'm so happy to be here in Hawaii. And today, after church, I'm going to take my family to the beach because we actually went to San Diego, and we actually walked on a beach. Nice, but there was, like, all these, like, Portuguese man-of-war. And, you know, like, when you come to Hawaii, you live in Hawaii, sometimes, like, we just take it for granted that the beach is, like, there. And so, and I haven't been to the beach in a long time. I don't know, maybe you can tell I'm turning white, but I leave my shirt on anyway because I don't want to be obscene. But you know, when you go, and you know, when you go out in nature, you know, you get to just see God's beauty all around. Isn't it so wonderful? Amen. Hey, yesterday was the first time in a long time that I got to take out all of my toys. And if you know what that means I took out, like, all my saws and all my stuff, and I just made a mess in the garage. I mean, I had sawdust up to my eyeballs and in my eyeballs. And all that working, I only got one boo-boo. Pretty good, huh? Yeah. But then I was so grateful. I'm, you know, I if you know me, I have a lot of tools. And I am to the point right now, it's like, I don't need any more. I am happy with all the tools that I have. I mean, of course, I could use other tools, but enough, because I noticed the more tools I get, the more my honeydew list gets bigger. And so I said, okay, you know, I said, okay, God, I'm happy with the tools I get. And then, you know, when you're like that, then just God, somebody gives you more tools. It's like, okay, now I get more things to do. But, you know, it's been on my heart for a while to talk about this, like being content. Because sometimes, you know, we go through life and we just want more and more and more. If you know, my office is across the street at Shipman Self Storage. And I see people coming in there with truckloads of stuff. And you know what? They got to pay money to store their stuff. And I'm thinking, like, man, I lose money because you're paying for your stuff all over again. By the time you take them out, you paid for it again. Versus if you would sell them at the garage sale, and when you needed them again, you just, you know, you could have bought a new one instead of paying rent for this little space. And I think, like, wow. When the lava was coming, yeah, they were busy because everybody wanted to move their stuff out. And that place was maxed out. And like, wow. You know, when I look at being content, being happy with what I have, I always think about my truck. You know, my truck, of all the vehicles that we have in my family, I have the oldest vehicle. You know, everybody's car is newer than mine. Mine is like 1999. And for some of you here, that's older than you. Yeah? Like Jaywin, he has a 1974 Toyota Corolla. And I said, wow, you know, that car is older than me. you caught that one. But anyway, so this is my truck, Toyota Tacoma, and I'm very happy with it. I don't have one of those push the button that goes beep, beep, and the thing lock. I have to lock it manually with my hand. When you guys pull up on the passenger side, I cannot press that button and the window goes on. I gotta stretch this short body like 4 feet just to barely reach the window crank. And, you know, it's a stretch for me. Right? I mean, it's like full stretch. Roll down the window, and then you get to tell me, see you later. Okay. Yeah, it's like, man. But you know what? I'm happy. It's good. It works for me. And I don't need the push button thing or the automatic windows. I'm just glad that it works. You know, they say contentment is the state of being satisfied. And in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 8, says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these things, we shall be content. It's like, we came into this world butt naked. No Mercedes-Benz, no Toyota Tacoma, no Makita power tools. And when we leave, we ain't taking those power tools, a nice house. We ain't taking that with us. So he's saying that, you know, if you get food and you get clothes, that's it. Be happy. Because godliness plus contentment equals great gain. See, back then, the false teachers thought that they was using their religion to get rich. Yeah. Instead, you know, that relationship we have with Jesus Christ is great wealth already in itself. And if you add contentment to that, you got it all. You know, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and you are content, you don't need anything else. That's happiness. Amen. So here it is. This is what happened. Discontentment comes when we compare. You ever notice that? For me, Mondays, I love Mondays. Mondays is the best day ever. You know, most of you may not agree because, like, oh, Monday, I gotta go work. It's like, I love to go to work on Mondays. It's a great beginning and it's a wonderful day. And you know one thing I like about Mondays? Mondays, I go to town, and I go to the bank by KTA, and I get to see Tom sometimes. He's cooking in front of KTA. That's a blessing to me. Al knows this. Mondays, if you go to Heroes, they get one killer meatloaf. But after it's cooked, the bug will probably weigh 1.5 pounds. After I eat that meal, I am so happy. My stomach sticks out like I'm a few months pregnant, but Mondays is just a great day. So one day I went to lunch, went to this other place, and it's like, oh, meatloaf was the special. So I ordered meatloaf, and this tiny piece of meat came on my plate, and I was comparing it. I ate that meatloaf in like 5 minutes, and after I ate, I was still starving. And I was grumbling, thinking like, man, the other guys wanted so much better and so much cheaper. So when I compared the two, you can tell I was very unhappy. You know, because you know my saying, right? This is my saying when it comes to food. Quantity, not quality. Quantity. I like volume. I don't care if it's not that great, but if you get plenty, I am happy. I will take quantity over quality. And that's my saying when it comes to food. You know, so when I compared the two, it's like, man, I'm still hungry and it was more expensive because I compared. I was discontent. Instead of looking at, wow, at least I get lunch, I was really, it was a bad, but it was a good thing, so I have an illustration. In 1 Samuel 18, look at what it says. It happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, with musical instrument. The women sang as they played, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Then Saul became very angry, and for this saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Get that? Man, you gotta see the picture, man. They said King Saul killed thousands, David 10,000s. I say King Saul did his job. He didn't have to work that hard because David killed him for him. But he was comparing, like, wow, man. What's up? So when he looked at that comparison, when he was mad, he was jealous. Yeah. And now, if you could imagine, if Saul said, David killed 10,000, I killed one. Wow, together, we killed 11,000 plus of our enemy. Isn't that a good thing? But he didn't. Now, if he would say, like, whoa, Pastor Scott, wow, he saved two guys in service today. Whoa, yesterday, Pastor Courtney, they saved 10 people in youth. Now, would I be like, wow, what's up? No way. That means I equipped her to save more people. And together, we're going to reach the kingdom. We're going to fill that kingdom with people. Amen? Now, if I was to compare, like, oh, wow, she saved 10, I saved 2. I'm going to look at you, like, you better raise your hand when I pray. You heard me. I'm looking at you, 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 and you. Now, raise your hand. Now, that would be pretty uncool. But it's not like that. We have partners. We work together. You know, when I was a young Christian, I used to look at people like Jaywin and Grant and say, like, shoots, man, what's up? You know, I look at you guys and I can see up your nose because you guys are so tall. I look at guys like Pastor Aaron. He's wearing the same shirt as me, but man, his shirt is more full. I think he has a smaller size. That's why. And I said, like, you know, when I used to look at, when I was coming to church and I was looking at all these men of God, and I was thinking, like, man, they're so big. And they just command respect by the way they stand. They're so big and intimidating. And sometimes I feel like one mouse. Really? Or maybe one rat, yeah, you might say. But the thing is, like, I used to always ask God, like, why can't I just be like 5'8"? That's not asking for much more. Yes, it is, Scott. That's 5 inches. But then after a while, I would be happy, and I'd be content with my size because people would come up to me and say, "I am so glad God made you like that." I thought, "Why?" Because you're so approachable. I'm like, "Oh, okay." Then I got it. You know, it's easy to approach a shorter guy, I guess. Is it? I don't know. Versus if you had to see somebody like Grant or Jaywin, it's like, wow, these guys look big and kind of intimidating. Pastor Aaron, look at all the muscles on his muscles. If I say something wrong, they might squash me or punch me out, but Pastor Scott, I got him. Yeah, because he's short, yeah. And you could imagine Zacchaeus, the guy who had to climb the tree to see Jesus. Man, I can relate to him so much because... You know that? You remember that song they made about short people a while back? Wow, man! Talk about persecution! You all the short people, you guys got that song sang to you, man. But coming to know Jesus Christ and who I am in the Lord, oh, I am happy to be all but 5'3" and a buck 50 something, but yeah, it's, I'm like, now I'm saying like, wow, thank you, Lord, for who you made me and how you made me. You know, when we go fishing, and we go fishing at the nastiest places to get to. And I mean, I swear to you, the road, there is no road. You're just going. I'm just following Al. I have faith that Al knows where he's going. And sometimes he doesn't, but I follow him anyway. And this is how it is, eh? Okay, I may be the leader and I may be going in the front, but at some point in time, I gotta stop, pull on the side, I gotta get out of my truck, go to my front wheels, and I gotta turn this knob. And sometimes that knob on my hubs is so hard that you need bionic fingers, and I gotta lock my hubs. And when I do that, everybody just goes past me. They just press on button, and they're gone. And I'm with the old truck, with the manual everything, manual transmission, manual windows, manual locking hubs. They go, and I'm in the back now, where the dust is. Yeah, seriously. Sometimes you get so badly dusted out. But then, you know what? That's okay, because now I realize that I get one Toyota Tacoma, and I can go places. I can go places where the other brands, not to mention, cannot go. Really? You guys know who you guys get the... If you look in the parking lot, we get plenty of smart guys because they get plenty of Tacomas. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I know Pastor Dennis is going to brag about that because he sells Tacomas. But I tell you what, if I focus on what I don't have, because that's number two. If you look at what you don't have, again, discontentment comes fast. I mean, we're unhappy real fast. In Exodus, when they were lost, Moses writes this: the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we have died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. You have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." God bless you. Back in Egypt, okay? Back in Egypt, where they grumbled and they moaned, they were oppressed, they were slaves. You know, their lives were like this in Exodus 1:13. The Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor rigorously. Now, if you ever labored rigorously, you know what that's like. And they made their lives bitter with hard labor in mortar and bricks and all kinds of labor in the field. All their labor, which they rigorously imposed on them. Man, they was in slave labor. They were making bricks. They were commanded to go in the field. And they were bitter. You know, they may have had meat and vegetables, but what is life like when you are bitter and you have no freedom? You're a slave. So now, we read in Exodus, they're free. But they're not happy. They grumble about their living conditions. Instead of looking like, man, I have my freedom now. I can go hunting for food if I wanted to. But they grumbled about their food. Oh, I can see me doing that 100% of the time. Where's my steak? When all my wife gets is salad. And she loves to eat salad. And you don't gotta cook salad. So it's so easy. And she does that. And it's like, man, I need meat. Give me. And then I can, you know, when I look at what I don't have, oh, I can get so discontent. When, in fact, she is trying to help me to be healthy. Amen? Yeah, so they grumble. You know, instead of grumbling, man, they could have, instead of grumbling and looking at the things we don't have, one thing we can do is we can really look at what we do have, and if we want something or we need something, we can always ask. Amen? God is not a God that says, no, ask. The Bible says, you do not have because you don't ask. So we need to ask. In Exodus 16:14, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I might test them, whether or not they will walk in my instructions. So God heard their grumbling. And then in verse 30, so it came about at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. They got food. Right? They got food. God fed them. You know, they were angry. They were grumbling. Moses, you know, stepped in like he always does, and he prayed for them. But they got so mad and so angry because they were looking at all the stuff that they didn't have. What is the stuff that you are looking at that you don't have, that's causing discontent, that's causing your unhappiness? Maybe your neighbor has it. Maybe your friend has it. You know, what is it that's causing you to be discontent? Huh? Because number three, here, this is what contentment comes from. It comes from looking at what we do have. And what do you have? You have Jesus Christ. And really, when it comes down to it, that is all that matters. Philippians 4, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In anything and everything, every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You know, Paul, when he was like a Pharisee, he probably had a lot of things, a lot of wealth, a lot of prosperity. But then when he got knocked off of his horse and the transformation came, he probably had to live with very little. You know, and Paul said, man, this is an important lesson for all of us. You know, and some people just don't get it. Paul called it a secret, but Paul's contentment was not gained through strict self-discipline. Instead, it was through Christ alone. Like I said in 1 Timothy, we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content. That means when you die, somebody going to get your fishing pole. That means when you die, somebody going to get your car. That means when you die, somebody going to take all your power tools. But you're going to ask them to bury them with you. Right? Somebody going to take your money. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or bound. You know, you cannot take things with you. You take your salvation. You take, you know, your saved friends, they'll all meet you one day in heaven. You know, Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You know, we, as followers of Christ, man, we gotta get this down. We cannot be chasing after everything and be conformed to the world. I tell you what, in a lot of areas we need to be content. But then there's some areas that you cannot, like in your spiritual life. You cannot be like, oh God, I'm in church on Sunday. I am content. I'm going to sit in this same chair every week and I'll be good. I'll be content. No, in your spiritual life, you need to be like chasing after God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. In your marriage, man, you better be content. You better not be looking at your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's husband, your coworker. You need to be content, knowing that, you know, although we're not perfect, we're making progress. You know, in your marriage, you gotta understand. You cannot be like, man, I've been married for 25 years. It's good. I'm happy. I'm content. Man, you gotta keep working on your marriage every day. You gotta go on dates. You gotta show love. This is one thing, talking about love, man. This guy, Miles McPherson, in California, he was talking about love. And this was so hilarious. He was saying, love, man, love. Women, each one of them has their own definition of love. All different. They write it down on a piece of paper. They dig a hole and they bury it. Nobody knows what it is. And you gotta figure it out. Each female has a different definition. And us guys, we're just trying to figure it out. Man, it's like, just give me the list. No, it's buried. You gotta go figure it out. And, you know, as men, sometimes we don't understand. But we still cannot be like, oh, I bought my wife flowers once this year. Ah, I'm content. You know, I bought her jewelry once, maybe on her birthday, but I'm content. You know, and wives, you same thing, man. You cannot be like in your marriage, it's like everything is good, I'm content. You gotta work at it day by day. Date nights, you know, doing things you guys like to do together. And that's what it needs. It has to have, like, you gotta have ambition in your marriage and in your relationship with Christ. And then one thing, you cannot evaluate your marriage by comparing it to somebody else. Okay? You cannot, you know, compare your marriage to my marriage. Because sometimes you see what you see, but you don't know what sometimes I mean to my wife at home. I'm honest. I got things to work on. And when she calls on the phone, you know, hello, what you like? You know, it's like, hello, oh, it's you. You can tell, right, when we're talking to our phone. But, you know, we gotta, you know, work on things. You cannot compare your marriage to my marriage. You cannot compare your husband to me because they're all gonna be taller than me. Sorry. Yeah, and you know what? You cannot. You cannot compare your spouse to another person's spouse because you're not married to them. But you gotta understand that the contentment, you gotta, you know, look what you have. You have a spouse. Some people go through lives all alone, but you have God, you know, hooked you up with somebody. And contentment, really, you gotta understand, is looking what you got. Looking what you got. I don't see anybody here who doesn't have a shirt on their back. Right? You guys got clothes. I don't see anybody here barefoot. You got shoes. Some of you got many pair of shoes. Some of you got too much shoes. Some of you got one pair. But you gotta be content. Amen? It's looking what you have. Looking what you have. You know, when I go fishing and I catch one fish, man, something is wrong. But hey, at least I caught one fish. You know what I mean? And one fish is better than no fish. And no fish is, at least I got to go fishing and hang out with my friends. Seriously, we gotta adjust our focus. Because sometimes we too much this, we got that, I need this, I got that. I'm looking at what I have, or I'm looking at what my neighbor has. My neighbor just got a brand new 4Runner. Buggy is half my age. And I think, like, wow, this guy is doing all right. I get to love him right where he's at. If I look at that, and I was thinking, like, wow, how come I can't get one for my wife? I'm working for the Lord. But I look at what I got. I got a wife, two kids, and three cars. One's still broken, but it's all good. It's all good because I know what I have. Who do I have? Jesus. Hey, you guys smart. We all have Jesus. Amen. You can put away your notes. I would like to ask Jaywin to come up. He's going to close the service and he's going to lead us in communion. So you can prepare yourself. Would you welcome Jaywin?
So as we close the service, we try to close the service with an opportunity to receive the Lord. And based on what Pastor Scott said, you know, it's, I guess, not being complacent, you know, but being content. And in life, if you're doing pretty good, you got the job, the house, the car, I mean, sometimes people really don't see the need for receiving Christ. You know, they're doing fine on their own. You know, they're living life. You know, it's the Jesus stuff is not for me. I just, you know, I got what I need. I'm doing okay. I got family and a job and all of these things. And, you know, according to the Bible, it doesn't say that. It says we need Jesus Christ because we were born sinners. And because we were born sinners, we have a sin nature. God, who cannot have fellowship with sin, provided the remedy, the sacrifice. Like the song they sang this morning, you know, we would sing out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb." The Lamb was Jesus Christ. He was the once for all sacrifice, one time, that's it. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again that we could have eternal life. Not based on church attendance, not based on any type of good works, good merit, or anything like that, but solely on the work that was completed over 2,000 years ago. And this is where we receive God's amazing grace. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So if you guys would bow your heads and close your eyes, we'd like to say a prayer. I'd like you to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe that he was born, died on the cross for my sins, and rose again. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. I confess my sins, and I turn to you. If anybody said that prayer for the first time, could you please raise your hands with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? I see your hand back there. Anybody else? Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you so much. You guys can put your guys' hands down. Lord, I thank you, and you have seen the hands and the hearts that was raised, that they say that they believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Father, and you said, those that you set free, we are free indeed. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice that you have made for us. We love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keauhou, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.